Just a few verses here this morning. We're going to go in two or three different places today. We'll start in the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together this morning before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we, all of us in this room, know people that we either suspect, well, we suspect as being lost or backslid. Lord, we all know people that we've seen no fruit in to indicate a relationship any otherwise. So, Father, this morning we join our hearts together and we plead with you to draw these individuals to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that those that we have concerns about during the Christmas season, Lord, that they might turn to you in true faith and repentance. We ask you, Father, to quicken the dead, those that are dead in their trespasses and sin. We ask you, Father, to bind and remove Satan's work in their life and open their eyes to the gospel. We pray for Holy Spirit conviction to convince folks of their lostness, their backslid condition. Lord, to convince folks that they're separated from you and headed for hell. We pray, God, that you'd open hearts to the gospel and Lord, that truth might be received. Lord, you have the power to orchestrate circumstances in every life so that they might hear the word. Please help them understand it and not let it be snatched away by the old devil. We ask that the pleasures of this world and the pressures of this life would not choke out the word of God. Please deliver those that we care about, Lord, from the kingdom of darkness and place them into the kingdom of your dear Son. Only you can stir folks out of complacency as well. Only you can stir people out of indifference. And I pray, dear God, that you might stir the pot during these days. Lord, you can send people continually to interact and intersect the lives of people that need a life change. We ask you to do that. You sent your Son to be the Savior of sinners. That's what we just read. Lord, it's not your will that any should perish. That's what we just read. Please don't let those that we care about or concerned about, that we love, please don't let them die in their sins. And God, there are some in this room today that are in that same condition. Lost or backslid. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, for those that have made a step and come this way, this day, Lord, that you might have your way in their lives. And so, Father, we pray this with one voice. We pray this with one heart. Lord, trusting in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, to make a difference in our lives this morning. And we pray that, believing he can do all things in Jesus' name. And amen. I have 6 points in one verse this morning that I want to zero in on. I like Christmas. a season where we have a ready-made opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel of the only Savior this world will ever know. We can share that with anybody, anywhere. There's always something to point that direction this time of year. And it's a beautiful opportunity, so many beautiful opportunities that we have that we ought not to squander. We ought to be careful not to squander those opportunities. I enjoy, even though I don't enjoy the put up and tear down of some of it, but I do enjoy the tree, and I do enjoy the nativities and the decorations inside and outside of the homes. I traveled up from West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, to Columbus, Ohio on Thursday. And as I came into Ohio, there had to be a farmhouse out there on the side of a little rolling hill. And that in that particular setting, it had to be what I could see, about 35 or 40 acres, and I don't think there was a spot on it that didn't have a light. It was lit up like a village out there, and everything symmetrical, and it was just beautiful how someone had spent all of that time to put that out there. And I just slowed down and pulled over. It was incredible what someone did. And their take on what this is all about. We have every year somebody getting on me about putting up a Christmas tree. Somebody wants to talk about Jeremiah chapter 10 and how we ought not to be setting up decorated trees and all that sort of thing. It happens to me every year. You won't believe it, but it does. And I'm not bashful about sharing it, because I totally and wholeheartedly disagree. Jeremiah chapter 10 does talk about trees, but it's talking about idols. It's talking about carving that tree into an idol and putting gold and silver on it, and then carrying that idol wherever you go and bowing down and worshiping it. Who would worship something you had to carry everywhere it needed to go? Huh? And I'm going to tell you what, if my wife ever starts carrying that Christmas tree around with her, we're going to have trouble, all right? We don't bow down at the foot of the Christmas tree any more than we bow down and worship an old rugged cross. How ridiculous would it be for an individual to go into their bedroom, to open up their jewelry box, pull out a pendant of the old rugged cross, hang it on a hook on the wall, bow down to it, and worship that thing? It's a symbol. It's a symbol that points to something else. The symbol itself is not to be worshipped. I believe that's why we don't have the original manuscripts of our Bible. I think that somebody would bow down and worship those things rather than the creator and the writer of that book if we had the original here before us. And so we have pointers. And in my home, Christmas tree is a pointer. That Christmas tree has lights on it and reminds me that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. That tree itself reminds me that he died on a tree. He hung on a tree. That old rugged cross, in order that he might pay for the sin debt of this world, that I might have an opportunity to worship him, that I might have opportunity to be saved from my sins, not in them. He didn't leave me in them. He saved me from them, you see. Star on the top reminds me of that old star that came up in the sky as he was born. And the wise men traveled, followed that star to the place where the baby lay. You see, there's a lot of pointers that we have. And I'm not worshiping that. In my house, it's a no green, I guess you could call it an evergreen. It ain't never going to be nothing but green, that's for sure. All right? It don't have no chance of dying. It's already plumb dead, but it sure is green and it sure is pretty, with all of that. So, I like Christmas and I like the things that go with us. I mean, even the gifts that we put under the tree, they remind me of the gift of God. His greatest gift, Jesus Christ, His greatest gift that He gave to us. The greatest giver of all time. And he asks us to be givers as well. And so when we exchange those things, we exchange them in that spirit. We exchange those gifts, understanding that God has given us so much and we have been blessed so much, and that we want to bless each other with that as well. And the balance is trying not to go overboard and going silly about the whole thing. And so I do love Christmas, and I love the way that we can share the great love that He shared with us, to those that are close to us. We commend His gift by giving gifts, and it's a wonderful time. I like Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. That's where I was going. Jesus is the reason for the season. But I tell you this, I don't like everything that gets attached to the season. I don't like everything that is glommed on to what we have before us as this this season of Christ. One of those things that happens every year and we get hung up in it, it is not a reason for the season, but and it distracts from the season, even though it points to the season in some ways, is the commercialization of Christmas. I don't like that. I don't like how folks try to make a buck off of all of it. Stores use the season to make their year, if you will. And greed shows up. Competition. Not a good reason for the season. Too many are convinced by the commercialization of Christmas to spend too much and to get locked into debt for all the wrong reasons. And so commercialization can have a detrimental effect this year. That's not a reason for the season. Another thing that gets brought up during this time of year is well-meaning folks talking about it's all about family. Oh, it's all about family. And we're going to get the whole family together, and we're going to visit, and we're going to eat, and we're going to enjoy our family, and we're going to open gifts and photograph the excitement and post it all over everything. And it's all about family. I'm sorry, it's not. It's only Jesus that can sew a family together in the right way. And so you're looking at a product rather than the source when you're talking about the family. You see, in heaven, it's the only place where all the family will ever have a reunion. There's no other place that there will be a family reunion for all the generations that have come before you to gather up. And so, friend, when you think about family and you think about the bloodlines and all of that sort of thing, you're missing a very key ingredient when you're saying it's all about the family. You have to keep in mind that it is only Jesus Christ that can sew the generations together and bind that family into a unit and bind that family into something that can have a reunion one day. It's not all about family. It's about Jesus, who instituted the family, who is the foundation of the family. And we need to reverence the foundation rather than the product, the messed up piece of it that is out there. So that family is not the reason for the season. There's also the religious reason, and that's not the reason for the season either. Christmas is a season when we feel obligated to tip our hat to Christ because it's His season. Easter is another part of it, that we tip our hat towards Jesus because it's part of the season that we have out there. And so some folks haven't been to church three times all year, and they'll show up at Christmas and they'll show up at Easter because they want to tip their hat for the religious reason towards Christ. Might want to pinch yourself if you're in that crowd. Wake yourself up a little bit, because tipping a hat towards Jesus a couple of three times a year, not going to work out in the long run. It's not going to be commendable in the long run. Take a look at what you're doing. And what you're counting is the reason for the season, some gesture towards God, some gesture towards Christ. It's not about that. Another reason that is not the reason for the season is the holiday reason for the season. Everybody takes a day off. It's a holiday. Takes a day off and enjoys the holiday with all of that. You see, that's the idea of the holiday is not the reason for the season. We might enjoy the day off, but that's not what it's all about. You realize that it became a holiday in the United States in 1870? 1870. Did a little research here a while back, and Christmas, the first observance of Christmas on December the 25th was in 336. A fellow by the name of Constantine celebrated Christmas in 336. You see, there's a whole bunch of things that go along with Christmas that have intersected with Christmas, okay? A whole lot of ideas and different things that have crossed through there. And I'm not in favor nor against all of the things that have crossed over and intersected with, as long as we keep in mind what is behind and beyond every part of it. December the 25th was picked as a day, was used as a day, because it comes 9 months after March the 25th. March the 25th is the historical date for the Annunciation, for the conception of Mary. And so 9 months later puts it at December the 25th. That's the magical number, you see, for the birth of Christ. And so there are many that, and I'm in that camp, that would say that that's probably not the day that all of this took place. But it's as good as any. A day, a time that we set aside to think about something very important. And that something very important we'll talk about in just a moment, being that virgin birth. So the holiday aspect of it is not the reason for the season. Having a day off and feasting and celebrating, it's not the reason for the season. Another reason that is not the reason for the season is the old Saint Nick reason, you see. So I'm not here this morning to mess up your family time with all of that. But I would say to you that I would encourage you to reflect upon how the tradition of Saint Nick plays out in your family unit, and the idea of fabricating issues, and how that turns out whenever the fabrication becomes public knowledge to a youngster, and what that does when they look at an adult that they trust in their life and who has been prevaricating for a period of time. And so it's not the reason for the season. What happens is that we throw all of these things into a big old pot and we stir it all up. And we stir it all up and then we glob it all out onto something there. And so I'd say be careful, because those things are not the reason for the season. The real reason is in verse 21. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The she there we know as Mary. And so if we want to look at the real reason for the season, we have the first of those reasons right there. A promise. There's a promise that has been given here. What went through Joseph's mind when he found out that the woman he was espoused to was pregnant? What went through his mind? Today, we ask for a woman's hand, and that makes us engaged. Then comes the wedding. They're pronounced husband and wife. They drive off, dragging cans, and go to some place, and they're married. In Joseph's day, weddings were arranged. The father of the of the groom, negotiated with the father of the bride. There was an agreed upon price for the father of the bride to give up his daughter. Once that was done and the hands were shook or whatever they did to seal the deal, they were married even though they were not living together yet. The groom would go back. He would add on to his father's house and make room for the bride that he would be bringing home. When that was done, he'd come get her. That period between that agreement and between the bringing of the bride home was called the espousal period. That's an important thing, you see, because Joseph and Mary were married for all intents and purposes during the time that this situation came up. They had not been together, but they were married. That's why it says that Joseph wanted to put her away privily. That's a divorcement that he went through because they are married at this point, but they have not been together. A dilemma that they have right here. I want you to listen to her dilemma. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, looking at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Oh, here we go. Now we're getting specific. What does all that mean? Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Here it is. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm what? Is what she's asking. I'm what? How can this be, since I have not known a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. All of that came about because of a promise. A promise that God made. So you see, the reason for the season, first and foremost, is a promise of what God had laid out. Isaiah made an announcement over 700 years before that time. He made a pronouncement and talked about this virgin birth and foretold of it 700 years before Mary got pregnant. And when God makes a promise, He keeps His promise. Now, this one was pretty unlikely as a promise or as promises go. Now, God's pretty powerful, but for a virgin to have a child, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty tough one. I can imagine when someone was writing down, copying Isaiah's scroll, they might have come across that and said, Whoa, we're going to have to do something with that. Maybe we better change that to a young chick or something, because virgin, that probably isn't going to be happening anytime soon, eh? Well, thank God they didn't change anything. Amen? Thank God these men put things down faithfully in the way that it was given to them. God wouldn't let them change those things around, even as unlikely as it seems that these things could come to pass. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. God made a promise. Mary was the fulfillment of that promise. Friend, that is a reason for the season, number one. That God made a promise, and this is the fulfillment of God's promises. Females provide the XX, males provide the XY, but in this case, God provided the Y. He provided the Y that took place in this instance here. Jesus would not have the sin of man handed to him. He would not have the sin of man delivered through him coming that way. The only way that could be accomplished was through the virgin birth. She was a virgin before, during, and after that birth, you see. And that's something that only God could do. God promised the world a son who would become a sacrifice to pay the penalty that we owe for our sin. So the first reason for the season was a promise. The second reason for the season was a present. A present. What's a Christmas without presents? We give gifts in honor of the greatest gift ever given. The greatest gift ever given was Jesus Christ. He was the gift of all gifts. He didn't come wrapped in paper, fancy bows. He came wrapped in swaddling clothes. Have you ever got something that made you scratch your head? I get things occasionally. Used to get them when I was a lot younger and less opinionated about things. I had for the longest time, I had a pair of dress shoes that somebody bought me way back in the day. And I carried them through 6 or 8 different houses, packed them up and carried them with me for all of that time. They're brand new in the box. Scratch your head sometimes about what people are getting you. I mean, maybe they, you know, I hadn't established a pattern at that time of never wearing shoes. And so, but I still had them until up here recently. I don't think I have them anymore. But kind of make you scratch your head when you get some things like that. So, and then we give some pretty useless things at times as well, don't we? But God gave the greatest gift that could ever be given. That gift, if trusted, leads to eternal life. How many of you have ever watched a young'un open a box of something there, and pull what's inside of it out, run off into the other room, and said, "What? How's this work?" And the next thing you hear is, "Uh-oh." Couldn't be like 2 minutes after they jerked it out of the box or out of the package, and they've already ripped a handle off of it or something to that. Broke the stupid thing, and you spend a long time figuring out that, why didn't you come and we could, and it's too late. Too late. Now all they get to do is play with the box because that thing doesn't work and not any good anymore. I tell you this, God's gift never gets old. It's not something you can't use and you can't break it. It's the best gift ever. And if you know Christ as Savior, it's a gift that just keeps giving. It's a gift that lasts forever and ever and ever. And I hope you know him here this morning. Reason for the season, second reason, is a present. Third reason for the season is a person. Scripture says, call his name Jesus. He's real. God with a name is what he is. And a name that is a personal name. What do you want to be called? Do you tell people that? People ask me all the time, what do you want to be called? You want to be called reverend? You want to be called preacher? You want to be called pastor, brother? And I tell folks very honestly, anything but reverend. I'm not a fan of that particular one. Everything else sounds kind of like okay. But that one, I'm not too crazy about. But wait. Whenever all my kids show up at the house, none of them call me Brother Brett very often. They call me Dad. Tracy calls me your liege. She's what? You know, or something equally profound, like stuff like that. So no, you know, they call you by different things. Jesus, J-E, that's Jehovah. The last part, S-U-S, that's salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Salvation is a personal thing. He has a personal name, and it is a personal mission. It is a personal thing for each of us that know him today. And so when we call out the name of Jesus, we're calling out the name of the one who has saved our soul. It's a personal name. It's a personal thing when we cry out to him and use his name in that way. Friend, he desires to hear that name. He desires to hear us call him and to cry out to him with the name that he took on for the rest of time. For the rest of time, you see, he stepped out of eternity and into time. And from now on, he's going to have that body. And from then on, he's going to have that name. And we're going to be very personal and very personally involved with God in that frame and in our interactions with him. Leave Christ off of Christmas and all you've got is a day off. That's all it amounts to. You leave Christ off of Christmas and it's just a day off. And that's all that a lot of folks have this Christmas season, is a day off. Because we're fast leaving him out of everything. You have no personal relationship with Christ. You're not sure of heaven. If you don't have a moment of salvation, you have a hope-so salvation. You don't have a no-so salvation. He's not your priority. He's a good luck charm if that's the relationship you have with him. If you're that two-time-a-year Christian, all you have is a good luck charm. If Jesus to you is somebody to call or to when the emergency room is a long ways off, he may not be much to you when you need him. The end's coming. Life's short. And it may not seem like it today when we're living to be 70, 75, 80 years old. But I tell you this, this is something that you don't need to neglect and to overlook. He's a personal Savior. He's personally looking for you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. He cares about you. And so maybe you ought to give it a little more thought if Christmas is just a day off to you. Another reason for the season is a plan. Our verse in 21 says that he shall save. A baby in a manger. Sweet story of shepherds, a Christmas tree and the lights, a nice warm fuzzy stuff and the stories and all that. But God had a plan. And it started before there was a man on earth. It didn't start at the manger. He came and was born, but he was born to die. And he knew you were going to walk away from him, and he made a way for you to come back to him. That was the plan. It was always the plan. And it's still the plan today. He put on a robe of skin, entered the dark womb of a peasant girl, and was born into this world. He grew up and did the will of his father. He hung on a rugged cross with iron driven through his bruised body, soaked in spit, covered in blood because of your sin. He died for you. That's the plan. That is the plan. That's how much he loved you. He offers you a way for man to have his sins forgiven. And I tell you this morning, it's the only way. There's not two, three, more. There's one way. There's one plan. Jesus Christ. The plan is the reason for the season. Are you saved today? That's about a half a dozen of you. Because that's the most important thing in all the world. The most important thing that you can settle this day is whether or not you have a salvation. The reason for the season was a promise, a present, a person, a plan. It's also a people. That particular verse in 21 also talks about what he did it for, and he did it for his people. Has he saved you? Well, he created you. He loves you. He wants you. Yet, so often we withhold ourselves from him. And I'm not just talking to the lost here this morning. I'm talking to the saved as well. You see, he died to save his people. And if you're his people, he wants you. But he wants all of you. He doesn't want the pieces you want to give up. He doesn't want the time that you can discard. He wants all of you all of the time. He deserves all of you all of the time, you see. If you're his people, this is something that we need to take into consideration and think about. Am I his person? Am I his? And if I am, then why am I withholding me from him? This is what we talk about sermons and series on and all kinds of things about progressing in our Christianity, growing in Christ, becoming conformed to the image of Christ, being about his business day in and day out, being closer to him today than I was yesterday. This is what he desires from his people. Not a stiff arm. I tell you what, we got some of the best Heisman Trophy candidates in the world in here. Huh? Don't we? Let me hold you back, Lord, right there. Give that pose. Strike the pose. Heisman Trophy candidates everywhere. Yeah, I love you and I'll do it, but not right now. Not right now. Not today. Maybe later. Huh? Reason for the season is his people. So to him, we are the reason for the season. Because he's more about us than anything else. He wants us more than anything, you see. And the last reason for the season is that it's a purging. Talks about purging us from our sins. He came to save us from our sins, not to leave us in our sins. He's not going to leave us in our trouble. Scripture says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." The Old Testament sacrifices were, in the vernacular of the old, tarped. They were covered. They were put under the tarp. That's what the Old Testament sins were. They were tarped, covered, if you will, out of sight. But now under the new covenant, those are no longer tarped. Those are no longer covered up over in the corner. They are done away with, you see. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. Jesus took them away. He took away my sins when he saved me, and I'm not going to hell. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm just being confident in what the Word of God says and the relationship that I have with him. But so I've repented, I've prayed, he removed my sin, and to me that's the final and best reason for celebrating a Christmas, right there. I have had my sins removed. Removed. I am no longer steeped in those. I'm a free man. I have liberty, and liberty in Christ, you see. So that's some reasons for the seasons that we ought to rehearse a little bit and think about as we go into this time of year. I was thinking about three things that are very important. Christmas is important. It's a big deal. It's a big deal because we're to remember his birth, remember his humility, his condescension, his coming from heaven to earth in order to humble himself and become obedient unto death. But the virgin birth, that miracle, and the way that God moved through all of that. Listen to me, friend. I'm not so sure that you can be saved and not believe in the virgin birth. That goes part and parcel with it. You have to have a belief that includes that virgin birth, you see. Because it's central to everything. It's a big deal, okay? So Christmas is a big deal. Another thing that's a big deal, and you may not think it, but the Lord's Supper is a big deal. The Lord's Supper is a big deal. It is the one occasion that we're all to get together on a periodic basis and remember his death, to remember what he's done for us, to remember his body broken for us, you see. This is one of the important things of the Lord's Supper, and why we're not to withhold ourselves from that, but to be joined together with those that we church with, our church family, joined together in that, you see, so that we remember his death together, collectively as a group. It's an important time. It's a big deal, the Lord's Supper is. Remembers his death. Signifies his death. And the third is Resurrection Sunday. These three things are very important things. They're very big deals in the economy of God. Resurrection Sunday, we remember that He arose. We understand that the tomb is empty, that He went in dead and came out alive. And that because He went in dead and came out alive, we too can follow that same path because He made a way for each and every one of us. So these things are big deals. Christmas is a big deal because of that virgin birth, because of that humility, because of His condescension in coming to this earth. The Lord's Supper, because of the death. Remembering it, keeping it alive and fresh in our mind to what He's done for me personally, done for us collectively. And then lastly, that this is not the end of it, that there's something beyond this life, that there is something, a place where our soul can live eternally in a state of awe and bliss. Big deals. Christmas is a big deal. Remember the reason. What's behind it? Celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Him for what He's done for you. No better time than this time here. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to sing an old song and just remind you of something beyond this day, because we go through the birth, we go through the death, and then we remember that it's all going to be better one day as well when we leave this place. Have you got the words to that? Excellent. Now, I don't have any music, so you just have to bear with it, all right? Now, I sing this a little faster than you like to, so keep up. I don't like things to drag, all right? Okay. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Here we go. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me, what a day, glorious day that will be. Started at Christmas. It started at Christmas, had its fulfillment at Easter. And friend, in between, it was you He had on His mind. Friend, if you're not saved today, my question is, why on earth not? Are you looking for a better deal? I guarantee you there's not one coming. If you're looking for a window in the back room somewhere where you can crawl into the back part of heaven and sneak in somewhere, I guarantee you this, it's barred up. You can't come that way. It's a thief and a robber that comes up some other way than by the door. You'll come through the door, Jesus Christ, or you won't come at all. Friend, He came to this earth. He came to this life in order to give you life. What a blessing would it be for you and your family that you'd begin to have a relationship that would begin to sew your family together so that you could have a glorious, glorious reunion one day with the Lord and your family in some place called heaven. That starts with you stepping out. That starts with you stepping out in truth. truth, stepping out and understanding that Jesus desires relationship with you and that there is no other way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he says. Who wants life? I tell you, I do. I'm looking forward to an eternity with my Savior. I'm looking forward to a forever with Him. Amen? And along the way, those that have passed before me, I believe that we're going to cross paths and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. The way, the truth, and the life, but no man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Whatever it is you're counting on that ain't Jesus, I say to you this morning, how about we just throw that at the foot of the altar? How about we just throw that at the foot of the cross, leave that there, and pick up a cross and follow Him? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our head for prayer.